Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Welcome to the show. It's Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and it's time to report to duty. You know what time it is. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., also on all of our affiliate radio stations. And want to thank all of our fans up at Indiana Talks who's listening to us on our Encore broadcast right now between 1 and 3 p.m. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your fearless leader for the next 2 hours, and boy, do we have 2 hours of sports talk to talk about. Right next to me here, my counterpart, that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, good morning to you, sir. How is you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Man, we ready to rock and roll. We have got a show planned for you. And I tell you what, you know, as media people, we enjoy talking about sports. That's what we do. Heck, we're a sports talk show. So, you know, I love it when the sports world just gives us bountiful amount of stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today is on the negative aspects. One of the worst PR weeks in the NFL history, if not the worst. Certainly, we talk about Ray Rice. We talk about Mathis. And now, last night, Adrian Peterson, breaking news, gets charged for child abuse, for whipping his kid with the switch. We're going to get into that conversation, Kevin. And, you know, maybe I probably made some jokes, but I tell you what, now that I've seen those pictures, I'm kind of going to retract some of those jokes that I made. You know, it's just a situation that has to be addressed, and so we have got to talk about it. So that's what we're going to do, and we've got a great guest lineup for you today. Coming up at 9:30, Kent Sterling from CBS Sports and Local 1430 here in Indianapolis is going to join us. And of course, he's downtown tailgating, getting ready for that big Notre Dame-Purdue game. We're going to talk about, he'll be down at the Tilted Kilt. And so he's going to call in from CBS Sports and talk with us about Ray Rice. He's going to talk some Colts. He's going to talk now some Adrian Peterson with us. And, yeah, we're going to talk some Notre Dame football. Absolutely. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper, going to break down some of the high school football action. As you know, every week we do a few minutes, we talk some high school football, we round it all in together into college football. Of course, IU playing down at Bowling Green this weekend, so we got a lot on tapping at 10:30. We saved the best for last. At 10:30, we've got the 2014 debut of Elizabeth the Greek. That's right. The Greek is back on The Balance. And as you know, every Saturday morning she comes on and gives us her picks along with her father, Pete LaFuchsia. And if you've not heard Elizabeth the Greek, well, let me tell you what, we've seen her grow up over the years from a young girl from, you know, what, 3 or 4 years old. Now I think she's a whopping 6 or 7 years old, and she's fantastic on her picks. And, of course, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Calkins Media, is going to jump on board with us, Kevin. We're going to talk, you know it, we're going to talk some Philadelphia Eagles and Indianapolis Colts back on Monday night for the first time in 10 years. Can you freaking believe it?
I'm really surprised it's been that long, actually.
I'll have to check my facts. It's been a long time, dude. It's been a long time. Hey, you know what? Before we go to a break and get back and get into our show, if you guys got iPhones, you got to check this out. I don't know whether to be, and I tweeted this out this morning, I don't know whether to be creeped out about it or just say, hey, this is pretty cool. Managed to download, did you see that? Managed to download on every iPhone in the world cloud that, their new album, I'm sorry, they managed to, so go check your music right now. You've got the new YouTube album, complimentary of YouTube. So there's part of me that's like, whoa, that's just a little too close for creepy for me. But then there's the other part of me like, oh, cool, got me some free music, didn't have to pay for it. I happen to like YouTube. At least it wasn't a band that, you know, that nobody likes or something. But the fact is, it's kind of weird that they were able to do that, Kevin.
I didn't think it was true. One of my friends put on Facebook about that. So I checked my iPhone. I was like, wow, I don't know whether I like this or not.
I don't know either. I don't know what to take from it. But if you've got an iPhone, you've got free music from compliments of U2. Should be right there. And just go to your music app, and there it is. Abso-freaking-lutely. Thank you, U2. My name is Sal Mark with Sal Presidente. Myself, that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We'll be back because it's about to get good right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Wheels keep on spinning, but the crowd passes me by.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Walk with me.
right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark Wassell, President. Chapman, we are ready to get into this show. We, like I mentioned in our opening dialogue, we have a good show. And I just want to go out there and say this, Kevin. It's going to be one of the best shows we have ever had, topping all over. Just because we got so much stuff to talk about. Unfreaking believable. Well, let's kind of get into this, and we will get into a lot of this conversation. Ray Rice, Mathis, Colts, Notre Dame, Adrian Peterson, the NFL, Monday Night Football with the Colts, Paul George. I mean, we really just have a full deck of conversation to talk about. Well, let's get you all right there, Kevin. Are you? It sounded like you were hacking up a lung there. You okay?
Oh yeah.
You felt it. I love it, man. I tell you what, nothing like it. Well, we digress here on the show. If you want to chat with us, 917-889-8516 is my digits. If you want to get on and talk some NASCAR with us, if you want to talk some Ray Rice or NFL, make sure you're also following us on all of our social media family, at T-Balance, at ProIndy, at IndianMay.com as well. Well, I tell you what, Kevin, here we are. We're down here in the chase, and we've got us a chase going on. What happened to your boy Jeff Gordon slipping down three slots? Well, not really. He's still in second. I'm sorry. He went down one slot. But BK comes up on top of Jeff Gordon. Of course, then you got Dale Jordan, Jimmy Johnson, and Joey Logano topping off the top five in the Sprint Cup Series. And then over in the Nationwide Series, soon to be the Xfinity Series, Chase Elliott is your leader there. Regan Smith, Ty Dillon, Elliott Sadler, and Brian Scott. And over at the Camping World Truck Series, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, Ryan Blaney, Darrell Wallace Jr., and German Carrago Jr., and I probably messed that up. NASCAR is not supposed to have names I cannot pronounce. Kevin, we look at the standings across the board, the Sprint Cup Series. Yeah, that's IndyCar. And we look at the standings across the board, Sprint Cup Series, Chase standings, Nationwide Series, and the Camping World Truck Series. What say you?
Well, I mean, there's really no surprises out there. I mean, Wallace Jr. is looking good in the trucks. I mean, Chase Elliott is definitely, I mean, everybody knows he's probably within the next 2 years in full-time sprint. He's not going to be staying Nationwide very much longer. I know next year he's racing a couple in the big league, and then after that full-time. So not surprises. As far as, Jeff going down to second, the one thing about the chase is when that starts tomorrow, the points are going to be so close that it really doesn't matter where they are.
Well, except if you're in second or below, right? Then it begins to matter where you are. And, you know, I always like to look at the chase when we get to this time of year, because you really have got to look. You know, this could be, as we talked about, this could very well be Jeff Gordon's last year in a race car as we know it. I mean, you know, certainly he's not made that formal announcement. But BK coming back up again up there in the top. I mean, where did he come from? Out of nowhere, we see him back up in the. It's one thing to be on the leaderboard, but to go up four slots to number one in 1 week. I mean, that says something about BK. Maybe he really is going to have it his way. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jimmy Johnson. You know, Jimmy Johnson's not really liking being in number four there. I do like his dark horse of Joey Logano in the number five position. Of course, he's down one from last week, and he was in the number four position as well. So as we talk about, it could be anybody's chase, anybody's race. You know, there might be some other dark coverages out there, but as it stands now, we've got BK, Jeff Gordon, Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, and Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Kyle Busch, and Denny Hamlin, all looking for a championship. And, you know, certainly we don't anticipate Denny Hamlin making a move to the top, but when you look at it's chase time, it's time to get going. And it could be anybody's race, anybody's game. So, you know, when you look at Joey Logano possibly being the best, really the best dark horse that's out there. And, you know, Jeff Gordon seems to be pretty content and feeling that he's still got this. And then we look at, you know, Tony Stewart back in the race car. Certainly it's been a few weeks since we've talked about him. We did find out this week that the investigation into Tony Stewart and the death of Kevin Moore Jr. up in upstate New York is complete, and it's been turned over to the New York District Attorney's Office, who is reviewing it. Kevin, I don't think, you know, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this just because we have spent plenty of time on Tony Stewart, but, you know, the news is that the investigation is complete. I don't think we are going to see any major developments out of that.
Well, I mean, I agree. I don't think we will. If there is going to be a major development as far as anything negative towards Tony Stewart, they're not going to wait a week, you know, to announce it and all this. I mean, that pretty much tells me that there's not going to be anything criminal or anything like that against Tony Stewart. But, I mean, don't see it happening with them waiting so long to make the announcement.
And certainly they've made their own internal changes and pit crew and crew chief changes around, really kind of really trying to position Kevin Harvick really their best shot as a team to do the best in the chase. So certainly they gave their best to Kevin Harvick. So how do you think that switch up with Stewart Haas is racing, where they've basically play musical chairs with the pit crews and the crew chiefs to basically give a competitive edge to Kevin Harvick? Let me ask you this. I get that it's their team. They can do whatever they want. They can substitute and do whatever they want. But what kind of perception, and we say perception is reality in 2014, what kind of perception does that give, to the crew chief that they ousted, well, not really ousted, but moved around and said, hey, you know what, we've got it from here. So certainly that's not a very good confidence and morale builder inside the teams that got moved around. And what does it look like outside to the fans and to other teams when you have that kind of a change around? And I get maybe why it happened. I can understand the logic and the strategy behind it, especially in lieu of everything that's happened with Tony Stewart. But, again, perception is everything.
Well, and you're right. I mean, the perception is that, you know, there's big issues with Kevin Harvick's pit crews and swap and all that. But, I mean, in a way there was. If you watch the last several weeks, I would say almost the whole season, actually. His pit crew, which is now Tony Stewart's pit crew, cost Kevin Harvick a lot of wins. There's several weeks that Kevin Harvick had a great car and had absolutely no reason he didn't win, other than his pit crew took that extra second during the race on the pit stop. So, you know, with the new chase format where every four races, four drivers go home, that's huge. You know, they have to have that pit crew that's going to be on spot. They can't afford for the other 15 drivers in the chase to do a 12-second pit stop when they're doing 13 or 14 seconds.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand that. I'm certainly not disagreeing with what you say. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the old saying, you dance with the fat girl you come to the prom with. And I think that it just gives the perception anyway that Stewart Haas didn't have any faith in said pit crew. I guess that's my perception of it. And since I
don't think that's perception. I think that's reality. I don't think that is perception. I mean, I think that's reality. There'd be no reason to switch pit crews unless you didn't have faith in them. You know, so, and I guess maybe that's a wake-up call to the pit crew, too. You know, hey, we got switched, so there's something we're doing wrong. So, you know, sometimes I think the pickers need that wake-up call.
You're right. Sometimes, you know, just like anybody else, you know, when a player gets benched or whatever, I guess that's the equivalent of doing some bench warming in NASCAR. Well, at the end of the 2012 season, we talk about this young kid, Joey Logano. And at the end of the 2012 season, Joey Logano was 17th in the final NASCAR Sprint Cup Series standing, and out of a full-time job he held since 2009 when he was 19 years old. Now, Logano lost his ride with JGR to Matt Kenseth, which is obviously a veteran with a championship on his resume, but Logano has found a very good home over at Team Penske. And what I like about Team Penske, he saw something in Joey Logano that JGR didn't. And now about this time, Coach Gibbs is probably saying, damn. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. I've always liked Joey Logano. But, you know, sometimes it's there's just those drivers and teams or drivers and owners that just don't plan. I mean, like, look at Hendrick's Motorsports. Right now, all four of them are in the chase. Three of them are in the top four. But it's about not only just is it how do you blend with your pit crew and your crew chief, but how do you blend with the other drivers, personality-wise and everything else. So Joey Logano's a good driver. He just wasn't in the right spot for not just a team, but for him personally to develop. And now that he's got these teammates, he's got, as far as other drivers, he's got the pit crew, he's got the crew chief that he can communicate with and understand each other, it's a totally different driver.
Well, one thing for sure, Kevin, is whether or not he wins the title or not, Logano's got to feel some pride. He's got to feel proud that he's included in the same conversation with former champions, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, BK, which is his Penske teammate. That's got to give him some pride in knowing, hey, you know, I'm learning. I was 19 years old, and, you know, I'm glad that Penske's given me a shot, and I think I've proven to Team Penske that I belong here. And certainly I think that borrowing anything that we don't know about in the foreseen future, I think that we can see Logano and Penske have a very good relationship in the upcoming future races.
Well, you're right. They're going to be around. For a while, Joey Logano's not going anywhere. BK is definitely not going anywhere, which I look forward to. You know, obviously I'm a Hendrick fan. I'm glad all four of them are in there. But, you know, it's going to be good when – and I think the teams need it. NASCAR needs other teams to challenge your Jeff Gordon's, your Jimmy Johnson's. And, of course, you know – every NASCAR fan out there, frankly, will be excited if Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins. For some odd reason, well, not odd reason, his dad is a big part of it, but Jr. has always been a fan favorite.
Oh, absolutely, and I have to admit, I'm really excited. That would be something special. Now, don't get me wrong; it would be good to see Jeff Gordon win another championship as well. But it would be absolutely special to fans alike, whether or not you're a junior fan or not, to see Dale Jr. come away with a championship this year. Certainly within his grasp, he's got to get past Jeff Gordon and BK to make that happen. And over the next couple weeks, we'll see how that actually comes together and. And certainly as this chase comes together. Well, we look over to the NHRA Mellow Yellow Countdown for the championship. A six-race title run among four classes kicks off this weekend out in Concord, North Carolina. Had a great time out at the NHRA this year out at Lucas Oil Raceway, and certainly just always good time when you can go out there to the Chevy Performance U.S. Nationals. During the next 6 weeks, though, sisters Brittany and Courtney, of course, we've had both of them on the show here, Brittany most recently, and Courtney Force will share, basically talk with U.S. City Sports about stories from the road, and certainly Brittany has qualified for her first countdown in her second season in Top Fuel, and that's amazing to me, especially when you look at the rest of her family in the funny car.
Well,
Father John Force, a 16-time funny car champion, who also has qualified for the countdown. So my guess is we're going to see a Force in one of the championships this year, and how exciting that is for the entire Castrol Edge team. So certainly looking forward to see what the Force family can do. May the Force be with you, I guess, huh? So certainly finishing out of the U.S. Nationals here in Indianapolis this past August, they locked into the number 9 position, and certainly now have a chance to, I'm talking about Brittany's team, now have a chance to claim their first Top Fuel championship. Even if they did drop to the 9th, I mean, how incredible is that for Brittany Force, Kevin?
Oh, that's huge. And, you know, for her to go into that, I mean, all of them, the Force family, like we've talked before, you can't talk NHRA without talking the Force family. But for her to go into a totally separate car than the rest of her family and do as well as she is, that's huge. And to be voted in by the fans, I mean, that tells you right there as well. Her popularity kind of reminds me a little bit of Junior's. Both are great drivers. But when you have the Force name, especially when you're attracting a female with the Force name, fans are going to love you. And she's proven to the fans that she deserves that. You know, it's not just that. I think she got the popularity. People start following her in the very beginning because, hey, that's a Force daughter. And now people realize, yeah, that's Force's daughter, but she's really good. And so she's been able to keep that fan base because of that.
Well, absolutely, and I'm just, you know, it's going to be exciting to see if Brittany Force could get out there and win that very first Top Fuel championship. I'm looking forward to it myself. Well, Kevin, real quickly, we want to take we're going to get into a break here, and then we're going to get with Kent Sterling from CBS Sports. It's going to be joining us. Exciting conversation that we're about to get into. But before we do that, before we go into a break, Kevin, what do you got for us on what's on tap for this weekend racing in NASCAR?
Well, I mean, at the Chicago, it's, again, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, we have the first race of the first four, bracket, knockoff bracket of the Chase. And this year's Chase, just like getting into it, it's all based on wins. It's all based on where you finish that race compared to the other 16 drivers. So you'll see two races. Even in the past, you saw one huge race and then a kind of a let's just finish good race with the 10 chase drivers. That's not the case now. You'll have two separate races where you've got 16 drivers that know I've got to finish better. Then I've got to, like this week, I've got to finish in the top 12. I have to. Or I'm not going to be in the chase after that. So it's going to be two totally different races. You'll have a 43-car race and a 16-car race. So I look forward to it. Weather right now has been kind of lousy up in that area. So, you know, we'll hopefully things will hold out. We'll have a good race. But, yeah, I think NASCAR fans are in for a definite treat this year. I know I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to be great, and we're going to see what happens as the chase gets together. Well, my name's Sean Marcus, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman's going to be be back here. We're going to be joined by, from CBS Sports, Kent Sterling. I'm really excited to get – I love – Kent, I love his blog. You can check him out at kentsterling.com, and certainly he's been on the show as well before. And so we're really excited to have him on. We're going to get into this Ray Rice talk, and we've got so much on tap yet, and the show is just beginning. So you know what? Just as always, you know, if you've missed a second, Well, you've missed a lot right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. Pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Peter! You just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, and you are in the jungle. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Joining me also is that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman, and also joining us is Mr. Kent Sterling from CBS Sports, Local 1430. Kent, how are you doing, sir? Are you with us, Kent? Well, it sounds like we're having some difficulties getting to Kent. We're going to work on that here and try to get him on here in just a moment, Kevin. Isn't that how it always goes when you got something all set up and it just sometimes things just don't go the way anticipated?
It's technology, brother.
It's technology, brother. Well, you know what? We're going to get into this conversation anyway, and so certainly I think that we can continue our conversation here without Kent, but we're going to try to get him on here in just a second. So we look at Kevin. We look at this past week in NFL. You know, we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to digest, a lot to chew on. But when you look at this week, go ahead and talk with us about your thoughts this week. While I go ahead and try to get Kent on the line with us.
Well, you know, we've talked about this, and it's not just the sports. I but football, I understand when you become a professional athlete, you know, you hear them all the time say, well, I didn't ask to be a role model. Well, you know, yeah, you did. Everybody, society knows. that the truth of the matter is, when you become a professional athlete, kids in that sport look up to you. Every kid that wants to be a professional basketball player looks at LeBron James. When they go out and play basketball by themselves, or they're at the house, or anywhere they're playing basketball, they don't go up saying, you know, mentioning other basketball player names. You know, some mention Kobe, some mention that, but they mention the star names. No one goes out there and says, I won't be Charles Barkley anymore. It just doesn't happen. Football, you know, players, they go out there, these kids, and they want to be your Reggie Wayne. They want to be your Peyton Mannings, your Drew Brees. So whether you want to be a role model or not, you are. And you're right. This week has got to be one of the worst weeks in the NFL history for PR. You have anything from domestic violence to child abuse to illegal drugs usage. It's just been insane. And it's the athletes getting hit with this are some of the athletes I would have never thought about saying they're using sport enhancement drugs. Or I would have never thought of Adrian Peterson with child abuse. And I guess everybody's capable of it, so but I don't know. It's just I would have never put his name with that. I wouldn't have put Ray Rice's name with domestic violence. Maybe Sue, a couple others, but it's insane right now what's going on with that. NFL needs to get a grip, and I'm sorry, Commish right now, he's lost grip of the NFL. He's lost grip of what to do with punishing.
Please record your message when you have.
Right, go ahead, Kevin. I apologize. We are still trying to reach Ken Sterling. Go ahead, and I'll chime in here in just a second. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I just really something needs figured out. What that answer is, you know, I don't know. Now the NFL, the commissioner said, well, Ray Rice might not be banned for life. And I think part of that is open mouth, insert foot with the NFL saying, oh, we didn't know anything until this. We just now found that we got the video. We just, you know, I was talking to somebody at work the other day. I told him right then and there that was a lie, that video wasn't just released last week. I saw that video on Facebook 4 months ago of him physically assaulting his girlfriend in the elevator. So, that clip wasn't hidden from anybody. All the NFL had to do was go on Facebook, and they could have saw the video 5 months ago. So now that it's out, and now that it's known that, no, the NFL did have this video 5 months ago, now the NFL is going, oh, well, hold on. Maybe he's not banned for life.
It's an indefinite suspension, and, you know, I do apologize. We are trying to reach, I think we have him. Now, are you with us? Ken, are you with us? All right, buddy. I appreciate it. I know sometimes.
Sorry about that.
Can you hear us now, Ken?
I can.
Oh, hey, buddy, it's okay, man. We're all in radio. I understand how that goes, man. And you've now elevated your greatness. And you know, I had this big build up open for you. You're now over at CBS with your new gig, local CBS 1430 WX INT. Did I say that right? WXNT. I'm sorry.
XNT. That's it.
But
yeah,
I know that
CBS Sports 1430.
There we go. I tell you what, it's good to hear you back on the radio full time again. I was listening to your remote downtown on Georgia Street yesterday afternoon a little bit with the great Eddie White, and you know, great conversation. And so really, we'll just get right into this. You know, what a and we're joined now by Kent Sterling of CBS Sports, 1430 AM here in Indianapolis. And I know you're very, very busy with the Notre Dame game, and you're down there tailgating, getting things ready for the big Notre Dame game, which we want to get your thoughts on. And thinking about, let's talk about NFL, the PR nightmare. And I know you had Eddie on yesterday. If you don't mind me using one of the quotes that he used on your show, he's known Roger Goodell for years. But he doesn't think that Roger ever saw the tape. I guess one of my questions would be, maybe, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not he saw the tape or not. He's still the captain of the ship. He should put it in a drawer, then he's got to go. But the thing about it is, Roger Goodell should know what's going on the fourth floor.
No, that's absolutely right. And if somebody had the tape, and or the DVD of what happened in the elevator, and they didn't pass it up to Roger Goodell, then there's something wrong with the structure of management inside the NFL offices. And almost no matter what, somebody's got to go, and that somebody's got to be Roger Goodell. The owners, you know, I think that they hired former FBI Director Mueller in order to buy some time and to kind of take the temperature of the room and see if people are really that outraged. And I think that they are. And I don't see how a guy like Roger Goodell can continue to operate in the role of commissioner as long as he needs. I don't know what he does next time. You know, the next time there's a guy that he needs to punish, I don't think that he can operate in the same way with the same enthusiasm as he had. And I think he had lost all credibility with the players, and not because of this, but that happened over the course of the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, absolutely. And I think that he's kind of been digging a sinking sand, if you will, been playing in some dangerous territory over the years, and now he's kind of backed himself in a corner in a couple of various different ways. So let's take a look, let's step back and let's look at the big picture, Kent, of what's happened. We look at Ray Rice is the focus point, but it goes far deeper than Ray Rice. I don't believe for 1 minute this was an isolated incident. You can say what you want, and then you look at his wife lashing out at the media. I the thing about it is, yeah, wives are going to protect their husbands, but so are battered women. You know, there has to be that. Then we look at Paul George, very insensitive comments, the Pacers getting out there and say, whoa, whoa, we had nothing to do with that. And, of course, Paul George soon realized what a mistake that he made in Twitter. And social media has become such an impact in our life. You know, we look at this, Kent. Even 5 years ago, this video could have gotten swept under the rug, which may be what the NFL was wanting to do. But I think it's just really, you know, we always know that domestic violence is there. You know, it's stories we hear. But, you know, for most people who do the right thing about the women they love and they don't put their hands on them and they don't strike a woman no matter what she does, you know, the thing about it doesn't make it right, it doesn't make it wrong, but the reality was when we as America saw that tape by social media, there was no brushing it underneath the rug. And I think social media can be good and bad, but NFL has got to realize that that's out there, and you can't do the things you used to do. And so when you look at that tape, how disturbing was that? Just, you know, I guess that she spit in his face, okay, but then you look at, okay, well, she had it coming. Well, no, she didn't. What were your thoughts when you first saw the video of the actual hit?
Well, the first thing I thought was that what happened was exactly what I thought happened. And, you know, without the videotape, we're all left to create our own narrative and to imagine in our own minds what might have happened. But what in my mind happened was that he hit her with sufficient force to knock her unconscious, and then the elevator door opened. We saw that tape already where he dragged her out. But what I really hated about the tape more than anything else, more than the punch, was the absolute indifference shown toward Janae after he swung. There was no, like, oh, my goodness, what have I done? You know, there was no outrage expressed by him, no disappointment in what he had done expressed by him. He dragged her out of the elevator with the same indifference as, you know, I drag a heavy bag of garbage to the curb on Monday morning so it can be thrown into the garbage truck. I thought it was just terrible. And you mentioned social media and Paul George. You know, wealth does not equal wisdom. When we choose to follow somebody like Paul George, I follow Paul George and a bunch of players. Mm-hmm. You learn as you follow them that they don't really know what they're talking about, and that they haven't developed the ability to process information and understand what's going on in any way more profound than I did when I was still 23, or when I was 23, I was at Indiana University, you know, drinking 85 beers three nights a week, you know, trying to figure out how in the world I could pass classes without going to class. You know, and none of us are very bright when we're 23, and for us to have the expectation that Paul George is going to be a really, really smart guy and should speak for anybody at that age is just ludicrous.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I understand that 85 beers, you got to try to figure it out every 3 days. I'm down to 80 at 45, so I'm just kidding. Joining us also is Kevin Chapman, that redneck to Philly, my partner in crime on Saturday mornings. Kevin, what do you got for Kent Sterling of CBS Sports?
Well, and I agree with Kent was saying, and we, for some odd reason, we as a society think that once they hit the NFL or the NBA or MLB, any of those levels, they're all sort of these geniuses. Well, no, they're just as dumb as they were before they went to the NFL, half of them. They just got more money. Yeah, so it doesn't make him any brighter. Did Paul George make a mistake? Yeah, that was stupid. He knows it. Did he realize the backlash you'd get from the Pacers as well as the local fans in Indiana? I don't think he did. But again, like was just said, he wasn't thinking when he made those comments. And that's just where we're at. You know, social media, and I saw the video too, and like I was talking to Tom earlier, I find it hard to believe that no one saw the video. As soon as they said the video was just released to the NFL, my first thought was, well, I saw it on Facebook 4 months ago of him punching her. So something he's done, I don't think Goodell's going to be there very much longer. He can't. And just like was just said, he lost grasp. He can't punish anybody anymore. It's done. He's lost control. And as the leader, once you lose control, it's time to step away. I don't think he will on his own, but I think he should for himself and his family. I think the best thing for him would be just to say, hey, I've made some mistakes I can't recover from. And it's best for the NFL if I step down.
And he's got all kinds of money. He's got he makes $42 million a year. So, he's got money in the bank. Why does he want all of this stress and all of this consternation that's swirling around him? You can bet that he hasn't slept real well over the course of the past week. And what quality of life can this guy live, you know, based on the scrutiny that he's under and will remain under for as long as he's in that position?
And you're right. And his family's got to be under it, too. I mean, his family is just as much stress as he is.
Right, exactly. He's got problems. I don't know how he can continue to lead in the environment that he's currently in. And I don't know. I think what's going to happen, the owners, the only thing that they listen to, and you know, you don't have to be smart to own either. We talked about the intelligence of players. You don't have to be a smart guy to make $15 million playing in the NBA. But you don't need to be a smart guy to own an NFL franchise either. You just have to be rich beyond our wildest dreams. So these guys, what they understand money. And when sponsorship dollars start being pulled, when companies start pulling their money, when organizations like NOW start calling for the jobs of a guy like Roger Goodell and start using their economic power to hurt NFL owners, that's where you're going to have a problem, and that's where the leverage is with the public, and that's when the owners are going to make a decision.
Well, absolutely, and always hit them in the pocket, because if you hit them in the pocket hard enough, that speaks louder than other volumes. Let's shift gears a little bit, Kent, here. Certainly this is breaking news, and I want to get into some Colts talk in the Shamrock series. So I know we got you for a limited time here because you're very busy, but I want to just talk. There's just so much to chew on here with the NFL this week. Adrian Peterson last week, I think – that was the shock that around the world, we were like, really? We've just been dealing with all of this with Ray Rice. Really, Adrian, excuse me for being a conspiracy guy here. The timing on this is very, very peculiar. Now, the thing is, I'm not saying that Adrian didn't do it. Clearly, he looks like he did. And the same thing with Ray Rice. My question is, TMZ is always in the middle of all of this, and the timing is very, very peculiar because it's now being released by TMZ. The photos are being released by TMZ. At first, the indictment wasn't going to come, and now all of a sudden it is. Don't get me wrong. Hey, you know what? I joked around about it yesterday, and I heard your old station there, a guy in the afternoon joking around about, hey, I got the switch when I was a kid. But then we see the pictures, and then we realize, hey, you know, it may have stung a little bit for a few hours, but it certainly didn't leave those kind of marks. I'm just wondering about the timing of the indictment now coming back and TMZ releasing something else right in the middle of this. I don't know. Well, it just seems weird to me, Kent.
I think TMZ's come out of this and about a whole lot of – they've been in the middle of a lot of stories, but they've done nothing but release videotape and audio tape that put us in a position to correctly evaluate people who would not have been evaluated otherwise. They might be the only legitimate news source left. They might be the only place – where journalism is being done
sad,
and people are being it's awful. And, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, they should be ashamed that somebody like TMZ has been able to come along and you know, steal the moral high ground. And who are they? You know, they're a guy. It's a guy who runs a place with a bunch of kids, and those kids, man, they're out there and they're beating the bushes and they're trying to find out stuff that the rest of us just sit on our hands and don't really concern ourselves with. And I think it's a disgrace that they're really the only journalistic enterprise in the country. I check it every day. I check TMZ before I check anywhere else. It's ridiculous. How did that happen? But Adrian Peterson, the indictment, if you're a prosecutor or if you run a sports league other than the NFL, you understand what the score is now, and you know that if you sit on things and you don't allow light into your office and transparency in your office, that you're likely to lose your job where it comes to celebrity malfeasance. And I think that that's where we're going. I think that the whole Ray Rice case has motivated those in power to kind of open the drapes and show people what the hell's going on and how society operates. And, you know, I don't think people are going to protect the famous as eagerly anymore.
Well, and I think that's exactly right, Ken. But one other question, and then we do want to get into this Shamrock series. Robert Mathis is out. He was working out in Atlanta while he was suspended. The Colts could do a couple things. I think because of their fan base and obviously because of what's going on with Jim Irsay, they, you know, don't throw – what's the old saying? Don't throw stones in a glass house or something. So maybe they don't want to rock the boat too much. So, but they do have that option where they could list him as a inactive or what have you, so they don't have to pay him the money this year. They could set the pace to get rid of him next year. I don't know that that's going to happen. But the Colts, Monday night, Philadelphia, against a relatively good team. Pardon me? Oh, Kevin and Redneck from Philly. But certainly, we look at Robert Mathis and the situation he got himself in. A lot of this stuff could have been avoided. Education, I don't get stupid mistakes these people make.
Well, Robert Mathis is you wonder, I don't know, you know, would he have been injured if he had been working out with the team? Would he, physically, would he have been in the same situation? What he did was take Clomid. He says that it was as a fertility aid. There's never been a reason to not believe him. He's always been a stand-up guy. You know, they suspended him for 4 weeks. As Ray Rice gets suspended for trying to have a baby, so his mom, who's battling stage 4 cancer, can have another grandbaby, and they suspend a guy like Ray Rice for 2 games for domestic battery, and then they suspend Josh Gordon for an entire season for sitting in a car as other guys are getting high and reaching a threshold for marijuana, having marijuana in his system that isn't even close to what you would need to have in other leagues to be suspended or to be disciplined. And, you know, that just speaks to where the NFL is at and why people have no confidence in the disciplinary structure of the NFL. What's going to happen Monday night? You know, are the Colts going to be ready to play? I that's anybody's guess. I think that the most important thing isn't really the defense for the Colts. I think it's the offense. Is Pep Hamilton going to let Andrew Luck open this thing up and really attack that Eagles secondary? It's not very good. It's the kind of the one weak point of that second or of that defense. And so let Andrew Luck play, take the shackles off, and let that kid deal. And I think if they do, it's going to be a high-scoring, really exciting game. And I think the Colts win in the end, as long as they abandon that running game that seems to bear no fruit whatsoever.
And I agree. It's everybody, you know, this is a good game. You got two potentially potent offenses. I think the Colts offense, like you said, has been restricted. I am obviously a Philly fan, hence the redneck from Philly. But, you know, you're right. If you let Andrew Luck be Andrew Luck and you let that offense do what it can, it's going to be a great game. But if you hold them back, and you don't let Colts offense do what it needs to do, and you restrict it, I think it's going to be a different tale of a game against Philadelphia right now. Chip Kelly's offense, as anybody knows, there is no holds barred. That offense is, let's go, we're not going to go from 0 to 60 in the fourth quarter. We're going from 0 to 60 as that ball is in the air off the kickoff. They need to. But it's definitely going to be probably one of the more exciting, potentially offensive games on Monday Night Football this year.
It could be. And you're right, Chip Kelly, it's, you know, put your foot on the throttle and don't let up. Nick Foles doesn't make a lot of mistakes. It's a very potent group of offensive weapons that the Eagles have. And, you know, to me, when you're a coach, when you coach to a system, you make a mistake. You've got to coach to your talent. And the most important guy, the most talented guy on the Indianapolis Colts is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck play and put Andrew Luck in a position to exploit all of his talents. And if you do that, you're going to be the likelihood of success is much greater than handing a ball to a guy who has not shown that he can average more than 3 yards a carry in a game. To put the game in Trent Richardson's hands is just insanity. Open it up. Let Luck throw the ball downfield. He's got wide receivers everywhere. They're all terrific. Dante Moncrief, I don't know if he's caught a pass yet, but this guy is tall and rangy and fast and elusive. You know, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, Derek Rogers, you know, Griff Whalen, Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener even. You know, Fleener would be the best tight end on half the teams in the NFL. Let these guys play. Throw the ball around. Have some fun.
Well, we're talking with Kent Sterling of CBS Sports. We're talking with Kent Sterling of CBS Sports, 1430 AM here in Indianapolis. Certainly getting all geared up for the Shamrock Series also as well. And I know you're going to be doing some tailgating, Kent, out at the Tilted Kilt. And, you know, standing by in the wings also, we got Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper going to break down some high school football as well as some IU football. But the big game of the week tonight, Notre Dame and Purdue, nobody thinks Purdue can beat Notre Dame. So Notre Dame has – I mean, Purdue has nothing to lose but to go out there and beat Notre Dame. Not that that's possible, but the excitement in the air is fantastic. We got Monday Night Football. We got the Shamrock Series. Really, there's no other better place than to be is downtown with you out at the Tilted Kilt this weekend.
That's absolutely right, and I've found a little quiet alcove. I'm down here already and having a great time and enjoying some breakfast. It's a terrific atmosphere, and really, what a generous thing to do. It's generous of Jack Swarbrick as the athletic director of Notre Dame to bring the Shamrock Series to Indianapolis, and really kind of generous to put Purdue in the spotlight. And give them at least something to talk about and something to look forward to in a season that seems to be destined for another one of failure. But this is it's America's best sports city. And if you're going to host a big event, Indianapolis is the perfect place to do it. You talk to people inside the NCAA, they would love to have Indianapolis and New Orleans alternate as Final Four destinations and cut out all the other cities. Things are so compact down here, and over the last 20 years, the downtown area has grown into a place where you can have fun. You don't need to walk more than 40 feet down the street to find a place where people are really enjoying themselves and having a great day. And so this is going to be a wonderful day, a wonderful night. The game is going to be a train wreck, but what happens during the day is really going to be fun for fans. And last night was terrific, a great pep rally on Georgia Street that Notre Dame put together. They've got two stages down there. For a Final Four, they usually have one stage, but Notre Dame was joking yesterday. The great Jeff Nolan was saying that, Notre Dame's so big and has such a giant fan base that they need two stages. So, but Georgia Street will be closed again today. A lot of tailgating. The big pep mm-hmm. rally will continue. And places like the Tilted Kilt are rolling.
Well, the thing is,
I tell you,
you have to say you are probably one of the best spots. If I'm going to sit there right now and host something, I have to say, not just the scenery outside of Tilted Kilt, but the scenery inside Tilted Kilt, you have a pretty good spot right now.
You know what I can't figure out about the staff at the Tilted Kilt? Where are they when they're not in a Tilted Kilt? I don't travel in the same circles. I don't see these people anywhere else. But here they are.
Hey, I'd like to know myself.
Hey, Kent, and I know we got Walt Ferber from WITZ and Jasper in the background and holding with us. Hey, Walt, are you with us? I thought we were. Oh, wait, no, I guess we don't have him. anyway, okay, so, last week, Kent, we were talking on the show, there's a new study out that says that men who look at their ogle breast, if you will, it's healthy for the ticker. So I'm just saying, I think that the Tilted Kilt is there to help us grown men keep our ticker in shape.
Well, I had a physical this past week, and I found out my triglycerides are a little bit high, so I got to spend some more time in this place, I guess.
Absolutely. All right, Kit, we always like to ask our guests, is there anything that we haven't talked about, anything you'd like to talk about, whether it be the Colts, Ray Rice, the Shamrock Series, Adrian Peterson, what have you?
Not really. I think it's just been a profoundly interesting week, maybe the darkest week in the history of the NFL. And it's going to be interesting to see how this story continues to roll and what the fallout is. It takes time for an old boss of mine used to say, for change to occur, the pain of change has to be outweighed by the pain of being static. And I think the pain has risen to a level where the NFL has got to change fundamentally its modus operandi as far as it deals with domestic violence. And I really hope that throughout what's going on this week, people have developed some wisdom about domestic violence. When I worked at WIDC in Indianapolis, we hosted an annual radiothon to benefit the Salvation Army. And for many of those years, It benefited the Ruth Lilly Social Service Center, which is a shelter for domestic violence victims. And we would go there on a maybe a semi-annual basis and talk to the women who were being helped by the money that was raised. So we would have a personal idea and some stories to tell listeners and try to compel them to donate. And the stories were just so horrendous. I think the NFL has got to involve itself in some kind of initiative where players are bused to these domestic violence shelters. And they get to talk to the women who are victims, because once you realize the insidiousness and the pain that comes, the entrenched fear that people feel, that women feel when they're subjected to repeated domestic violence, you realize just exactly how serious it is. Nobody would be making jokes about it. And I think in large part it would stop butt cold in the NFL, because the wisdom would be there and should happen with the NBA. Paul George should be at the Ruth Lilly Social Service Center this morning learning exactly what those women go through to find out that, you know, it's not, hey, she slapped him so he can beat her. That's not what's going on. And for him to reduce it to that is just awful and unwise and silly. But I think through that experience, wisdom can be gained. And then maybe we can take some steps toward ending what is really a social plague on our society.
We're talking with Kent Sterling of CBS Sports, 1430 AM. Kent's going to be out at the Notre Dame-Purdue game down on Georgia Street, tailgating out by the Kilt. Kent, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show. We strive to get to the level that you're at of perfection, of great radio. We enjoy having you on, and I hope you like your new I hope you like your new gig out there, buddy. I tell you what, it's a rough job. I know it is. You're stuck out there all day out there with some Notre Dame football and stuff. I know it's rough on you, man, but we're with you, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. Life is good. We work in the toy store of life. And with the first thing I learned about live radio is that perfection is not an option. You just try to make a little bit of sense, and if you can do that, you consider that day a success. And you guys do a great job. I really appreciate your work.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kent. You have yourself a good day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All righty. Kent Sterling of CBS Sports, 1430 AM, joining us and talking a little Ray Rice. Adrian Peterson, NFL, and, of course, the Shamrock Series and the Colts and so forth. Always good and a pleasure to have him on. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper going to break down some high school football last night right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious
delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Here's another romantic song by someone with a better love life than yours.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Al Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, what a great first hour we've had, myself and that redneck from Philly, talking with, we just got off with Kent Sterling of CBS Sports, 1430 AM, breaking down all of this nightmare with the NFL. Let it stop. Let's talk about some real football. Un-freaking-believable what we've had to deal with this week in the NFL. And so certainly Kent Sterling talking with us about that and, you know, certainly having a good time out at the Tilted Kilt talking with us. He's going to be doing some tailgating for the Shamrock Series as well. Joining me also is that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. And I think, and I'm hoping if we got everything to work right, we don't. And it sounds like his phone is ringing, so we're going to continue to hold for Walt Ferber. So not sure exactly what's going on there, but we are going to keep trying to reach him. I'm not sure. It's been one of those days, Kevin.
It has, but you know what? We're making it work, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely. It's live radio, right? It's live radio.
It is.
Okay, Walt, are you with us?
No, we're still
going to let this thing ring. I don't know who's going to answer. I don't know what's happening here. Let's see if we can actually get him on the line here. this is unreal.
You know, well, we were talking earlier, Tom. And
we don't ever do this.
Maybe you will know the name. And I saw it yesterday, and I can't think of the name. There is another player that's actually playing football right now, I want to say from Carolina, that was convicted and found guilty in July. June or July of two counts of domestic violence. He's appealing it right now, but now the NFL has to decide what are they going to do with him. Are they going to let him play football, or are they going to suspend him? I want to say he plays for Carolina. His girlfriend at the time and him got an argument over Nelly because she used to date Nelly. He threatened to kill her, everything else, during the as he was choking her. So, you know, now the NFL has to decide what are they going to do with him as well for this.
I had not heard that story, and we're still trying to connect with Walt Ferber. Go ahead, Kevin.
I want to say it's Carolina, but yeah. So I mean, there is so much. I would not want to be in leadership right now in the NFL. This next month or so, next few days. It's just hell for your leader.
Kevin, I hate to interrupt. Kevin, I hate to interrupt you. It sounds like we do have Walt on the line with us now. Walt, are you with us?
Yes, yes, I am.
Sorry about that. I have no. We were just talking with Kent Sterling from CBS Sports, and we had a connection issue with him too. So it must be on our end. I appreciate your patience on that, and I apologize. But we're joined now by Walt Ferber from WITZ and WQKZ Radio down in Jasper. Going to break down some high school football action for us. Certainly, I know that you had a good game and a good call last night as well. Pretty chills at Jasper. So we'll certainly get into that conversation in just just a moment. But, you know, certainly we look at the – just continuing our conversation a little bit that we were just having with Kent Sterling from CBS Sports, you know – and I understand that we're a national show, but you work local radio here. And let me ask you this. What are your thoughts about Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Robert Mathis, the NFL, Roger Goodell? I mean, it's good in talk radio when they give us an abundance of meat to chew on, but this is one of those porterhouses. I can't eat all of it.
It is, as Colin Cowherd would say, a meat sandwich.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I think in the long run, it's honestly going to be a good thing. I think what it shows or what it will show is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you do, you're responsible for your actions. And the National Football League is the 800-pound behemoth. And I'm not near the National Football League office on a regular basis, but from what I've heard from different media outlets and sources that I trust, is the investigators of the National Football League have been taking things and kind of sweeping them under the rug for a long period of time. And Roger Goodell is basically, as the commissioner, is the PR guy. He's the guy that's supposed to make sure no bad things happen, and what we're reporting about is not this, but what's on the field. And I think that by absolutely muffing the Ray Rice situation about as badly as they could, it's really highlighting behavior in what I think in the long run is going to be a positive way, and the fact that it's going to bring discussion to light on things like domestic abuse, and with Adrian Peterson, possible bad behavior with your children. And it's going to bring forth to a new generation, I think, things, you know, ways to behave and ways not to behave. And guys like Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, now the Carolina Panthers, are really going to have to be called on their actions. And I would like to think maybe in the long run it might be a good thing, though at this point in time I think that Roger Goodell's $42 million a year job may be pretty much out the window.
You know, and I agree with you. Even if he, let's just say that somebody at the NFL saw the tape and was like, well, we're going to push this under the rug. This is 2014. This is the social media world that we live in. That is just not a possibility. And you, as a commander of a ship, if you will, has to be able to know what's going on. And whether or not that you physically saw it, you have, in a situation like this, you have to know what's going on. We saw something very similar to this in over at Penn State when all of that was going on. And, you know, a lot of, like, turning the heads, like, oh, we don't want to see, we don't want to know. And the thing about it is, in this day and age, perception is reality, and you absolutely have to pay attention to what's going on. Well, one thing I know you were paying attention to last night, you were out at Jasper, Heritage Hills at Jasper. We're going to talk about some of these other high school football games. Certainly, that's what we brought you on. We're running a few ticks behind. But that's okay. We will catch up. We always do. Walt Ferber from WITZ and WQKZ Radio down in Jasper. You had the call down there. Talk with us about Heritage Hills at Jasper.
Well, it was a battle of the unbeatens. It is always a great ball game of all the teams that are on the Jasper schedule going in last night. It was the only team that actually had a winning record against the Wildcats going into last night's game. Heritage Hills had won 10 games to Jasper's 9. And it's kind of a story that Todd Wilkerson, the new coach, replaced the legend Bob Clayton 2 years ago. Last year, Heritage Hills, something they never, ever have. They had a losing record. Well, Coach Wilkerson at Heritage Hills, he simplified things somewhat, went back to doing some basics that had been part of Heritage Hills' package for a long, long time. It doesn't hurt when you've got your son at quarterback, and his son Logan Wilkerson, an excellent athlete. He runs the option. He's got a good arm, And it was a wild one. And it all came down to the fourth quarter. It was a 17-14 Jasper advantage. Heritage Hills had an exchange student, a freshie, who got behind the Jasper defense for what appeared to be a 46-yard touchdown pass. Now, that would have put Heritage Hills up on top, but there was a penalty called. Several linemen were illegal receivers downfield. The penalty was called, and on the next play, Grant Teal, Jasper's outstanding defensive back, intercepted the Wilkerson pass, and Jasper went on one of the prototypical drives. It was 13 plays over 6 minutes and 32 seconds, and they closed it out with a win. So it was a nice win for the Cats. And it's two teams where the quarterbacks are both the coach's sons. Nolan Ahrens, the Jasper quarterback, his father, Tony Ahrens, who played for Indiana University back in the mid-70s, set a record last week against Boonville, throwing for 335 yards. Not that much this time, but he hit the right people when he had to. Probably 6,000 people, I would say, in the stands at Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium. It was a nice win. I also want to point out we had a nice ceremony before the ball game, as the team, longtime team doctors for Jasper, Dr. Dean Beckman and Dr. Randall Norris, were inducted into the Indiana Football Hall of Fame. So a stellar game and great celebration beforehand with the two inductions to the Hall of Fame. So it was a big night down in DuBois County.
Oh, absolutely, and I saw that you had posted that. That is fantastic, especially whenever you can get inducted into any Hall of Fame. It is fantastic. But who's also in the Redneck Hall of Fame is that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman, my partner in crime on Saturday mornings. Hey, Kevin, what do you got for Walt Ferber on high school football, sir?
Well, I obviously don't have near the knowledge that he has on high school football here in Indiana. But I don't know. Last night didn't seem like a whole lot of surprises when you look at wins. I mean, Brownsburg taking down Avon, things like that. I just didn't see was there any surprise games to you last night as far as outcomes?
Well, I tell you what, from what I've seen, last night pretty much went according to Hoyle as far as outcomes. I'm looking down here in the southern part of the state. We did have a couple of things that kind of stood out. Southridge is having themselves a nice year. They got a win over North Posey, but it appears they may have lost their all-everything wingback, Connor Craig, who ran for almost 2,000 yards last year, had 305 total yards in their season opening win this year. It appears he's torn his ACL, so that would be the big news here in southern Indiana from last night. Ross Foose at Forest Park, his team picking up their first win. But I don't think any really big, huge surprises, at least here in southern Indiana last night.
Well, and I tell you what, though, speaking of southern Indiana, Evansville Wrights just put a whomping on Evansville Central, and really that's kind of a huge rivalry down there in Evansville. And you know, Evansville Wrights is you know, I maybe not in the same comparison as Indianapolis, but Evansville Wrights is a fantastic high school, fantastic school to play with. In fact, you know, my sister moved to the west side of Indianapolis just so my nephew could go play football with Evansville Wrights. She planned it that far ahead.
Well,
we joke about that. Go ahead.
Wrights does have a heck of a program. For the past 5 years, the road of the tournament has gone between Wrights and Jasper. Last year, Jasper was able to actually get the sectional victory. They've got one of the best running backs around in Malik Higgins, and Higgins had a nice ball game against Evansville Central last night. And it seems like they grow those guys on trees, so to speak. They always have a lot of great ball players. One that sticks out in my mind right now is Matt McIntosh, who graduated several years back. He's now the starting quarterback at Northern Illinois. But they do an excellent job there in that program, and I think I think your sister was pretty smart in getting him into to a great football school like that. It's really one of the best venues anywhere to watch a football game is the Wrights Bowl down on the west side in Evansville.
Oh, absolutely. And certainly, you know, talking with Walt Ferber from down in southern Indiana, every week we try to cover a portion of the state in high school football. We can't cover it all. We only got a few minutes to do that. And unfortunately, you know, we got backed up a little bit on some other conversations. But we saw Evansville Modern Day and Evansville Harrison in Modern Day again, another good school, certainly known for their wrestling down there. North Posey, Gibson Southern, 59-7 over North Posey. And, you know, also, Fountain Central over Covington, 63-0. At some point, we look at Western Boone over Crawfordsville, 63-7. A pretty good game between Decatur Central and Martinsville as well. But then we look at East Noble and DeKalb, Walter, 49-14. We look at Twin Lakes over Delphi, 64-34. I can just keep going on. Yorktown over Delta, 20-6. You know, and I can just keep going down, and I see these huge stompings that happen. Are we seeing a situation where big schools are beating up on little schools, or are some of these schools really that good and some of these other schools really that bad?
Well, it's not necessarily a big school, small school, but it is definitely the case in the game of high school football. When you get a big versus a small, if that happens, those things can be. But covering the game of high school football for the last 42 years, I found there's a reason that teams win and there's a reason teams don't win. And when you get the right numbers, you get the right weight room situation, you get the stability in the coaching staff from grade school on up, you get teams that have the capabilities of putting 70 on the board sometimes. And I noticed last night there were several schools that ended up winning like scores of like 70-7. And there is sometimes that, you know, coaches don't necessarily get fishing buddies by running the score up, but there is sometimes that there really isn't a whole heck of a lot you can do about it. And some instances where you may only have 30 on your roster altogether and another school has 70 or 75, you get up and you substitute, and in the second half you've got fresh legs coming into the ball game, going up against guys that have been in some instances playing on both offense and defense, and even you got twos and threes that are fresh and know what they're doing going against the tired starters. Sometimes no matter what you do, those games are going to happen, and a few instances we've seen down here, coaches will go with running clocks, though most coaches really like to do that as a last resort. But there are some times in a game of football that there isn't any way around of seeing that happen. Now, the schools that I look at down here in Dubois County, Jasper and Southridge in particular, Coach Aarons of Jasper and Coach Buning of Southridge, they're going to, if they get up on somebody, they're going to do whatever they can to not make sure that score is ran up. They'll run the ball. They'll keep it between the tackles, make sure the clock keeps running, and basically try not to rub it in.
Well, you know, I do got to rub this in, and then we'll get into some college football. Then we got to boogie on. I graduated from Castle High School. Actually, I graduated high school in Paradise, believe it or not. But I graduated from Castle High School. I played high school football for Castle, and I was loving this score, like 64-0 against Evansville Bossy. So, you know, anytime you can beat Boonville, Evansville Bossy, or some of those other schools down there, I'm all for it, all thumbs up. How about those Castle Knights? And maybe they've got another title in their future.
I myself am kind of a fan of Castle. They're coached by a young man, Doug Hurt. My youngest son, Jonathan, played at Indiana State University, and when he came to Indiana State, Doug kind of helped mentor him through. Hurt is a very, very classy guy. Has gone through some troubles the last several years, But as long as you got a guy like Coach Hurt down at Castle, they're going to have a heck of a program, and they're going to – Castle Knights are going to win a lot of ball games year in and year out.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Walt, we'd love for you to stay around in our next segment. We got to get into some NFL and some college football talk. We're going to have Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, on talking some Colts with us. You're more than welcome to hang out with us if you'd like. Can you hang out, or do you need to book
me on? Well, I tell you what, and I will put a plug in. I live in Holland, Indiana. We are having our big Holland Community Fest this weekend, and I am going to be heading them just momentarily. I'm going to be the master of ceremony for the parade, which is going to be starting in just a bit here. We've got over 150 entries in the parade, so I want to invite anybody that's within driving distance. I know you're actually an international program, but to come on down and enjoy the hospitality here in Holland. We have the Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders that will be there this afternoon, including our very own Stephanie Blesch. So, Tom, it is always a pleasure to be on your program, but I need to be heading to the fest.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it, and thanks so much for joining us. Walt Ferber from WITZ and WQKZ down in Jasper, Indiana, southern Indiana, God's country. I grew up down there. That's my homeland, and talking some high school football with us as well. Walt, you have yourself a good trip at the fest.
Hey, you too.
All right, buddy. Walt Ferber, good to have him on. Guys, we got to take a quick break, and we're going to get back. Guess what? It's right around the corner. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go right into it. Elizabeth the Greek and her picks are back for the NFL, and we have been waiting for this. Myself and that redneck for Philly, we have been waiting for this weekend for a while. In fact, we've had it on our calendar for a while. I'm super stoked about our next guest, Ed Kratz, good friend of the Balance of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, making a trip into Indianapolis, and we're going to meet up with him tomorrow and certainly talk some smack, and we're going to get ready for the Eagles and the Colts game. And right around the corner, guys, it's Elizabeth the Greek. Yep, she's back right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back. We got 30 minutes left on the clock. You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Well, that wasn't good. We were supposed to be going to a spot there, so we'll get that made up here. Unfortunately, things just didn't always go the way that you want them to go. My name is Tom Quischel Presidente, and it's time to get into the NFL talk. All right, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. Joining me also is that redneck from Philly and the one and the only Ed Kratz of Calkins Media and beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. How we doing, guys? I tell you what, we have not forgot Elizabeth the Greek. We are getting her on. We are in the process of getting that on. It's been one of those days, Ed, where we've just had technical difficulties across the board. Nothing's going the way that it's supposed to, but one thing that is going the way it's supposed to is that you're here with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, you can't be doing any worse than the NFL did this week, that's for sure. They set a pretty high bar for doing badly.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? I do want to get into Elizabeth the Greek. While we're doing that, go ahead, Kevin and Ed. Let's talk about, you know, this week. And let's start with you, Ed. I mean, we got a lot to chew on here. As I was just saying in the last segment, it's like a big old porterhouse that we can't finish. But let's start at the top. We got Ray Rice, Roger Goodell. Then we got Robert Mathis. Now we've got Adrian Peterson. Ed, so as you look at this past week, what are your thoughts?
Wow, you know, we could talk about this now, and in 15 minutes, something else could happen. I mean, that's how quickly things have been moving this week
exactly.
In the NFL with, you know, one big story after another. You know, the alleged the surfacing of this video that says that Roger Goodell had his hands on this tape that showed Ray Rice blocking his then-fiancée in the elevator, and he didn't do anything about it. You know, I sort of question the motivation why he would, you know, suppress something like that just because it's Ray Rice. You know, Roger Goodell's making $44 million a year. You know, why would you stick your neck out for someone like Ray Rice or anybody for that matter? You know, maybe Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or, you know, some of the big stars, but it's Ray Rice. And then, you know, in thinking about it, I think, well, look, you know, it's the Baltimore Ravens organization that maybe he's sticking his neck out for. You know, this has been a very successful organization. Over the last 15 years, they've won two Super Bowls. They sort of have been doing things the right way. They have a very well-thought-of African-American general manager in Ozzie Newsome. So maybe he's sticking his neck out for the Baltimore Ravens organization and suppressing this tape. But it hasn't been proven that he had it. You know, they're going to try to figure out exactly, you know, who said what and when and all that other stuff. So, you know, that's unfortunate. And then this Adrian Peterson mess, I mean, you know, shame on him for beating a kid. And congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings for doing what they did, a very proactive stance and sitting him out this Sunday. They activated him already as soon as the news came out. You know, meanwhile, in Carolina with the Panthers, you have Ron Rivera defending a convicted sexual abuser in Greg Hardy, and he's going to play again this weekend, their defensive end. And, you know, he's been convicted, and then he decided to appeal, and they're just going to wait and see how the appeal process plays out. So, you know, shame on the Panthers for doing that, but kudos to the Vikings for sitting Peterson. And things are just moving so fast. You know, in 10 minutes, like I said, we could be talking about something else.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, real quickly, we're going to take a break from this conversation because this was supposed to play first. We were having some technical difficulties. Elizabeth the Greek debuts again. Her 2014 season, guys, her picks begin today. Each week, those of you that are new to Elizabeth the Greek, each week Elizabeth the Greek comes on. She's been doing this for a few years, and we've seen her grow up from about 4 years old to a whopping 7 years old now. So we'd love having Elizabeth the Greek on, and so let's get into the 2014 season of Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mom Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're my role model.
It's time for
Remarkable.
Elizabeth the Greek.
Those words, they have power.
Well, Elizabeth, it's 2014, first show of the year. Welcome back.
Thank you, everybody. This is my first show of the year.
I know. You excited about the NFL and college this year?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Very excited. We've got some new sponsors coming on board and everything. And we're doing something different this year. You know what that is?
What is it?
You're going to pick against another person on the show. For the first week, you're going to pick against...
Daddy.
That's right. So...
Then I might pick against some other people.
Maybe Mommy. Maybe somebody big and famous. Other people will get you different people in every week. So that's how we'll go that.
Will they come over to our house?
Maybe we'll come over to their house. You never know. We'll do something different every week. But we're going to do a little bit different this year. We're going to, first off, we're only going to pick 5 games this year instead of 10. And you're also going to tell me who has the better week at any position in the NFL or college. So let's get right into it, okay?
Okay.
In the NCAA, big game of the week, we have the number 6 Georgia Bulldogs versus the number 21 South Carolina Gamecocks. And since I am the guest, I will go first. You asked me, Daddy, who are you picking?
Daddy, who are you picking?
I am going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs. Who are you going to go with?
South Carolina.
Wow, you're going to go with South Carolina. Okay. Last time these two teams will meet for quite a long time. It's the Shamrock Series down in Indianapolis. We have the Purdue Boilermakers or the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
And Daddy's picking the same, too. So we both
picked
that. We
would always pick that one.
Well, yeah, that's a little bit of a bias on our part. Moving on to the NFL, we have a big game. We have the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Diego Chargers. Daddy is going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. Who do you pick?
Seattle Seahawks. The other one.
The Seattle Seahawks?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going with them also. Okay, so that's going to be a push. Next game, another big one, we have the Chicago Bears versus the San Francisco 49ers. Daddy's going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. Who are you picking?
Chicago Bears.
Ooh, you're picking against Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's Dougie's favorite team.
That's whose?
Dougie's. He's in my class.
Oh, Dougie's a friend. Is that a new boyfriend you got to tell me about?
No.
Okay.
He's just a classmate.
Okay. And finally, we're going to go with Sunday Night Football. Do you go with the Philadelphia Eagles or the Indianapolis Colts? Daddy is going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. Who are you going to pick?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. Things are going to change a little bit different this year. Instead of picking all the games like we mentioned earlier, we're also going to pick which player has a breakout performance. This week, we're going to start out with quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, I want you to tell me, who do you think is going to have a better week? Is it going to be Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts, or Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers? Since Daddy's picking along with you, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go with Colin Kaepernick. You're going to go with...
Andrew Luck. Make sure to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek. And make sure to visit me online at ElizabethTheGreek.com.
All right. Elizabeth the Greek back on the Balance Radio Network every year. And really excited to have her picks, Ed and Kevin. So, Kevin, I know we haven't purposely given you the silent treatment today. It's kind of been one of those things. So we'll let you go ahead and go first. You listen to Elizabeth Greek and her picks, and we'll get back into this conversation about Roger Goodell. If we could chew on it anymore on the NFL, we really want to get to this big piece of meat that's going to be – like, did I just say big piece of meat? Big piece
yes,
of meat.
Yes, you did.
That's what she said. Kevin, what are your thoughts on Elizabeth's pick?
First of all, yeah, it's awesome. Listening to Elizabeth is awesome. It's one of those cute little things you do type thing. But the great best part is she's much wiser than her father. You know, to pick Indianapolis or Philly, her dad wasn't thinking too well. So I got to give Elizabeth the credit. Very smart for a 7-year-old when it comes to picking teams.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those that don't know, Elizabeth's been on the show here for a while. Her dad, Pete LaFuchsia, is one of our national producers and also is on the stand-up comic circuit. So you can catch him on various comedy clubs across the nation. But he came up with this idea a few years ago, and it just really took off. It started out as just something we were going to do one time, and then it really got legs. And now I know they've got some actual sponsors, and they're they may have more affiliates than us now, Kevin. I'm not sure. All right, Ed, what are your thoughts on Elizabeth Greek's picks? And let's get into the real game of the week.
Yeah, it's adorable. I love that spot. Yeah, you know, give her credit for going with the Eagles. I mean, it's not going to be an easy game for Philadelphia to come in there to Indianapolis and win this game, I don't believe. You know, the Eagles have a banged-up offensive line. They had to replace two starters that got hurt last week. And it's going to be interesting to see not only how they execute but how they handle the crowd noise. You know, it's going to be awfully loud in Indianapolis and in Lucas Oil Stadium Monday night. And it's a home opener for the Colts, and they're coming off a loss. And, you know, they might have a little bit more sense of urgency. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that crowd noise, the offensive line, I mean, and see how they execute. I mean, I think that's really the key to the whole game for the Eagles is that offensive line.
Well, absolutely.
Agree. That's one thing I was worried about.
I feel like I'm at a four-way stop here. But no, you go. Now it's fine. You know, here's the thing. I just know that what I worry most is obviously the elephant in the room, and we're not going to have Mathis on the defensive end. There has to be pressure put on Fultz. You can't go to sleep on Fultz, as Jacksonville did last week. And, you know, you guys come back to Ed, you guys come back to win and get 34 unanswered points. That doesn't happen too often unless you're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe the St. Louis Rams. So I certainly believe that this week we have got to prove ourselves. We do not want to start the season at 0-2. After falling to the Broncos, we can't have those kind of games where we did against the Broncos, and we can't always rely on Andrew Luck in the comeback. He almost pulled it off again, but that's you got to play all four quarters. And so we look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and certainly we don't have Robert Mathis suspended. Of course, now we know that he has a torn ACLU. He's going to be out for the year. I don't know if he'll be back for the Colts, period. A lot of things going on there, but I think, you know, he will be. But, you know, there's a lot of people who think that the Eagles will beat the Colts. I hope that's certainly not the case because it is we can't.
Well, I mean, the chances of a team being 0-2 and then going into the playoffs is unbelievably low in the NFL. So the Colts definitely have more of a need to win than Philly right now.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about that comeback. You mentioned that comeback earlier, Tom, the Eagles scoring 34 straight points. Is the one thing the Eagles did not do, and they never do, is give up on the run. You know, you're down 17-0 at halftime, so right away you think, okay, they're just going to throw. But, you know, they kept running the ball, and that eventually wore that Jacksonville defense down. That, you know, Jacksonville's a very good defense. They just don't have a lot of depth. And, you know, the Eagles play that really high up-tempo style. And, you know, you look at guys on that Colts front, you know, Corey Redding, Josh Chapman, Arthur Jones, these guys are all over 320 pounds. And, you know, if they're sucking wind with this up-tempo offense, the Colts defense is going to be in trouble. And, you know, I think it's going to be a shootout based on that. And again, with that running game, you know, the Eagles aren't going to abandon that. They have the best running back in the National Football League in LeSean McCoy. And you look at what the Colts did last week. They fell behind early against the Broncos, and they went into throw mode. You know, Andrew Luck threw the ball 53 times, which is, you know, to me, ridiculous, and they only ran the ball 14 times. If you have that sort of an imbalance in your play calling, you're not going to win a lot of games. So if the Colts don't figure out a way to run the ball, and if they don't give up on the run very quickly, then they're going to have some success in this game, because you can't score quickly and keep that defense running out there against the way this Eagles offense up tempos. You know, Chuck Pagano talked about that during the week. Is, you know, it's hard to simulate. He goes, you can show your defense what they're doing, but then to try to play it at the up tempo the Eagles use, he goes, it's very, very tough to do.
Oh, and not only do we have McCoy, but I'm a huge fan. We've made some stupid picks in the past, like T.O. I've never, ever supported when Philly got Terrell Owens. But when we picked up Sproles from New Orleans to help in that backfield with McCoy, and those two are working great together, You know, normally when you have two star backs like that, you always hear these issues. One back is upset and the other back's getting carries and so forth. These guys are right there behind each other, and that is a dangerous duo in the backfield right now.
Yeah, you know, and
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. And I apologize, guys. There appears to be a delay between my ears and my mic. So, you know, I apologize for that. But we keep moving on. And I lost you guys in my ears a while ago, so I apologize. I didn't hear all of that conversation, so I apologize if I'm overstepping you. But go ahead, Ed. I'll let you go ahead and answer that question, then I'll pick up. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Kevin mentioned Sproles, and I think here in Philadelphia, a lot of Eagles fans sort of expected Chip Kelly to use McCoy and Sproles in the backfield together a little bit more. And in the opener, they were only in the backfield. They only lined up together in the backfield three times. So, you know, I don't know if that's something that they're going to do as the season moves along, or just kind of use Sproles in sort of, you know, what you saw in that role on Sunday, and that's to relieve McCoy. He had 11 carries. Darren Sproles, which was the most he's had in quite some time in a single game, and he was happy to have him. But he's also a threat in the passing game, too. And you mentioned the jealousy that could exist if you have a star back who's suddenly losing carries to somebody. I think LeSean McCoy appreciates the fact that, you know, he carried the ball over 350 times last year, and if you keep that workload up, you're not going to last very long in the NFL. So, you know, I think he understands that, you know, listen, if I only get the ball, you know, 280 times this season or 300 times, I'm fine with that as long as I'm productive with the carries that I do get. So he's on board. I think McCoy just wants to win a Super Bowl championship to kind of validate that, you know, he's one of the best running backs to maybe have ever played this game. Certainly in Eagles history, he will become the best running back that the Eagles have ever had.
Oh, yeah, he's
absolutely.
That's
what I wanted to
add.
And I want to point this out real quick, guys, that depending on what station you're listening to, some of our affiliates are going to a news break here in about 3 minutes. So you can catch all of our stuff on the archives and on our website, www.theballanceonline.com. I do not know what my website is, www.theballanceonline.com. And catch all of our archives on iTunes, guys. We're going to continue this conversation for a few more minutes. You know, unfortunately, we fell back behind just because there was so much meat on the plate that we had to get to today. So we kind of fell behind with that. But some of our affiliates are going to be going to a break here in about 2 minutes at 5 minutes till to hit their news and to hit their points as well. So if you lose us, that's why. You can catch us online. So we keep moving here, guys, and we look at two similarities, Ed and Kevin, from last week. At least we look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who spotted the Jacksonville Jaguars a 17-0 lead before coming back again, getting 34 unanswered points. The Indianapolis Colts trailed the Broncos 24-0 before coming back and eventually losing 31-24. We can't count on those comebacks. The Colts and the Eagles meet Monday night at Lucas Oil Stadium. Ed, I'm excited about meeting up with you tomorrow. Me and Kevin are going to pick you up from the airport and get you to your hotel, and I know you're going to go down to St. Elmo's and enjoy some dinner. I'm going to tell you, got to have the shrimp cocktail. Have you ever been to Indy or in St. Elmo's, Ed?
I never have. I'm really excited to see the city and to meet you guys and
you're in
St. Elmo's and eat some shrimp cocktail. A lot of people tell me about the shrimp cocktail. I'm definitely going shrimp cocktail.
Oh, dude. Man, you just make sure you have your Tums with you. I'm going to tell you, it's got a little bit of a bite to it, but it is fantastic, and the shrimp is just huge, you know. So yeah, and then we're gonna take you around to some local flavor of Indianapolis tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to it, and got a lot going on with the game and so forth. So we're gonna go around the board here real quickly here, so we can get everybody's comments. And we'll start with you, Ed. What is that the Eagles have to do to beat the Colts? And what do you think is going to be the biggest X factor for either team in coming together on Monday night out at Lucas Oil Raceway? I mean, Lucas Oil Stadium. I am so sorry for that. Man, I'm losing my brain. Lucas Oil Stadium. We have a
you could have gotten away with that because I think it's going to look like a raceway tomorrow, Monday night. I really do. I think it's going to be a, you know, a pretty high scoring affair. You know, this game, both teams, I think, could get into the 30s. You know, and that's not a knock on the defense. Well, maybe it is. But I just think that, you know, this Eagles offense, the way it likes to up-tempo, and the Colts, I think they're a little banged up on the defense with Arthur Jones and the linebacker, Jarrell Freeman. I think they missed practice on Friday, and I don't know what their status will be for Monday. But, you know, if those two guys can't go, you're very young after those two guys with, you know, Zach Kerr, who's a rookie out of Delaware, and Josh McNary, who's a one-year player out of Army. So I just think that the offenses are really going to have their way. And, you know, when you talk about the Eagles offense, of course, it starts with that offensive line, which has two new members playing after some key injuries last week. So it's going to be really paramount for the Eagles if they want to score points. A, they're going to have to block in the run game, and B, they're really going to have to protect Nick Foles. Nick Foles, you know, the reason Jacksonville got out to that big lead last week was Nick Foles was sacked twice and fumbled both times. And, you know, just pressure is what got to Foles, and he did not have very good ball security. So, you know, it's going to be – the Eagles are going to have to pass block, and they're going to have to run block. If they can do that, I think they'll be able to match the Colts point for point. And we can see a game where, you know, here comes Andrew Luck in the fourth quarter with a chance to, you know, lead his 12th game-winning drive and his ninth in the fourth quarter and, you know, fasten your seatbelt. It should be fun.
It's gonna get real. It's gonna get real out at Lucas Oil Stadium, just like it is this evening with Purdue and Notre Dame in the Shamrock Series. It's a great weekend to have football here in Indianapolis. All right, Kevin, the redneck from Philly, go ahead, buddy. We're gonna give you the last at bat.
And I agree with what I just said. You know, the key for Philly is how's our offensive line gonna hold up? If it doesn't hold up, we can't protect Foles, we can't run. It's just going to be a bad day in Indianapolis for Philadelphia. I think Chip Kelly's offense is going to do well, you know, but again, it's all about can we protect. So we'll see Monday night. One thing we have not talked about, and I'm really curious if Ed feels the way I do on this one, it's the NCAA, but with the Penn State now having the sanctions lifted, I personally feel that is going to give Big Ten's in trouble this year right now with Penn State having that. You've got some hungry seniors that have not had a chance to play for anything, now have one last shot to try to go for that Big Ten title. So, you know, do you see that lighting up what is already a potent Penn State offense, actually, with a quarterback throwing almost 800 yards in two games. Do you see Penn State that lighten them up to where they could be a Big Ten threat this year?
Well, we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow night. I'm really psyched. But quickly, yes, I think that, the Penn State, the big question for them, though, is the offensive line. You know, again, that's where it all starts. It's funny we talk about that with the Eagles, and, you know, here we are talking about it with Penn State because they're kind of a young, inexperienced line. But, yeah, I absolutely think Penn State can make noise in the Big Ten. If you look at the Big Ten, it's not the Big Ten, I think, in years past. There's not a lot of strength out there. You know, Ohio State with the first-year quarterback now playing instead of Braxton Miller, and, you know, Northwestern losing to – I don't even know who they lost to last week, but it's a team that, you know, isn't highly thought of. And, you know, Michigan getting shut out against Notre Dame. So, yeah, you know, in the Big Ten landscape, Penn State absolutely can make some noise. And, you know, you mentioned the sanctions being lifted. I think the important part of that is they gained 15 more scholarships, which, you know, they can now start to use next year. So I think in coming years, you're just going to see Penn State build, and they will be a force in the Big Ten.
Well, we've been talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. My name is Tom Marquis, and Ed Kratz and the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Ed, I hope you have a safe flight here to Indianapolis. We're looking forward to it, and certainly going to be a good weekend with it all climaxing Monday night out at Lucas Oil Stadium. against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm just stoked that, one, we're playing on Monday night. We're playing the Eagles. It's gonna be a good weekend. I've got my niece's birthday party this afternoon, so I'm going to miss a lot of this stuff going on downtown on Georgia Street. We had Kent Sterling. I want to thank him from CBS Sports Radio joining us and talking with us all about Roger Goodell, certainly helping us digest that big piece of meat sandwich that we have going. I know I quoted Colin Cowherd on that, but, hey, it is what it is. And I also want to thank Walt Ferber from down in Jasper, talking some high school football with us. Certainly, we'd love to give the attention to the high school kids, and we'd like to do that. And certainly, follow me on all the Twitters on Friday night for all the high school updates as well. So, Ed, we're going to give you the final word. Anything that we haven't said, or anything you'd like to talk about, and you got about 30 seconds for your rant, sir.
My rant. Well, listen, I've been on this show, dozens of times, and I love doing it. And for the first time, I can finally say, "Hey, I'll see you guys tomorrow night." You know, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I really don't have a rant, man. I'm just pumped up. I want to get out there. I want to meet you guys, have a little fun, and show me around Indy, and we'll go from there.
We are definitely looking forward to it, Ed. You have yourself a good flight, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. See ya.
All right, buddy. Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, Kevin, the redneck from Philly. Kevin, aren't we stoked to hang out with Ed Kratz and just to hang out with the fans from Philly and in Indianapolis Colts and just really have a good time tomorrow night down here in Indianapolis?
If I've got an Eagles jersey and cowboy hat ready, let's go.
Here we go. Here we go. Are we ready? Well, my name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. You've been hanging out with myself and that redneck from Philly. We're going to talk with you guys next week. Remember to follow us on all the social media outlets at T-Balance, at ProIndy, at Too Hot Corner, and at IndianMA.com. We will catch you guys next Saturday morning. Remember, don't drink and drive and end cool. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. I'm out of here. Peace.
My soul last night, honey, you wouldn't even take a bite.
Far away, I heard him say,
come with me now,
don't delay.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.